And we're going to read a very well-known story, a story I'm sure you've heard preached on many times. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And if you want a title, you could simply give it a title, A Night of Nights, A Night of Nights. Mark 4, verse 35. It says, "On the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no fear? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We'll end our reading at verse 41, and we know that God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want you to imagine the scene for a moment. It had been a long and a very difficult day for the Lord Jesus. And he had spent his day on a ship just off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he had used that ship as a pulpit as he had preached to the multitudes that had thronged to hear him. And now the day is over and the disciples and him, they get into a boat and they set sail for the other side of this lake. As darkness falls, the disciples are making their way across the little lake and they're heading for the other side. It's dark, and as darkness falls, the Lord Jesus is asleep in the back or the rear of the ship. He was weary. Perhaps he was tired from the business of another day. Most of these men that were in this ship were probably used to being on the Sea of Galilee at night. They were, after all, fishermen. And yet some events were about to occur this night, on this a night of nights, that would change their lives forever and would change their entire perception of the Lord Jesus. These men were about to find themselves in the midst of a terrible storm. And yet even in the midst of the storm, they experienced the Lord's power. And they experienced the Lord's deliverance and they lived to tell the tale. I want us to travel this morning with the Lord Jesus and his disciples on this boat. So we make our way across the Sea of Galilee. And I want us to do so because their experience has so much to teach us today. You know, there's a sense in which we're all involved in a journey. We're all traveling to an unseen port. And as we travel, storms can come and go and they can toss our little vessels. And so let's join the Lord Jesus and his disciples on this, what we could call a night of nights, as they make their way across the Sea of Galilee. Now, I want us to think this morning that this was a night of great dangers. Wonder, did you notice what it says in verse 37? It says, there arose a great storm of wind. Here's the Lord Jesus and his disciples. They're making their way across the Sea of Galilee at night and they find themselves engulfed in a terrible storm. You know, we could suggest that this storm was sudden. Wonder, did you notice? It says, there arose a great storm of wind. I don't know whether you've ever been to Israel, but I had the privilege of going just about a year ago. There you visit the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, it's 13 miles long. It's 7 miles wide, but the Sea of Galilee is approximately 150 feet deep. The shoreline that surrounds the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. And because the Sea of Galilee is so far below sea level, because it's surrounded by mountains on every side, you know, we're told that it's susceptible to sudden storms. All it takes is winds sweeping across the land to come up over those mountains and down across the sea. And they create those downdrafts and they can cause sudden storms. These winds combined with thunderstorms that can appear suddenly across the mountains can stir the waters into violent waves. And commentators tell us that these waves can reach up to 20 feet in height. You know, the sea, it can be calm 1 minute, and the next there can be a storm on the Sea of Galilee. You know, according to commentators, storms on the Sea of Galilee do not normally happen at night. So here are these men, these disciples, they're setting out onto the Sea of Galilee. It's night time, and they're not expecting a storm. But you know, the Bible tells us that there arose a great storm of wind. You know, as I thought of the suddenness of this storm, it reminded me of our lives. You know, things can be fine 1 minute, and the next minute you can find yourself in the storm of your life. You know, all it takes is one phone call, one 24-hour period, one doctor visit, one tick of the clock, and there you are in the storm of your life. And really, as God's people, it shouldn't surprise us. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Job. Job 14:1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And I wonder, are you in a storm this morning? You know, this was a sudden storm. But you know, something else, it was severe. It says that the ship was now full. You see, these were seasoned fishermen. Men like Peter, James and John, fishermen who would have been used to being on the Sea of Galilee, and they're frightened. They're fearful at the severity of this storm. You know, I can just imagine it in my mind. And the ship, it's rocking. It's reeling to and fro. It's full of water. And they're afraid that it's about to sink. You know, it was a violent storm. The ship was now full. It was nighttime too. Perhaps they couldn't see where they were going. They couldn't see how close they were to the shore or to the other little ships that were round about them. They were in terrible danger, and they feared for their lives. You know, again, this reminded me an awful lot about the storms that we can face in life. You know, so often they can come upon us suddenly, and when they come, they are often severe, and they can cause us great anguish and pain. I wonder, are you facing a storm this morning? You know, we could think about the storm of suffering. You know, suffering, it can blow into all of our lives. One problem after another, and before you know it, there's heartbreak, heartache and turmoil. One problem after another. And I'm sure there's many people in this building who can testify to the storms of suffering. What about the storm of sorrow? When someone you know or love is called away by death. And you know, it doesn't matter if you're old today. It doesn't matter if you're young or perhaps middle-aged. Sorrow affects everyone. And here are these disciples, and the Lord Jesus is in their boat, and they were still in the midst of a storm. What about the storm of sin? You know, sin can enter our heart. It always comes with that pleasant, calm breeze. It promises you the best. It says you'll have a good life. It'll be good. And yet, before you know it, sin displays a darker side. It leaves behind it a trail of damage, a trail of destruction. And behind it, And perhaps that's the storm that you're in this morning, the storm of sin. Never given your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus. And you know, the storm of sin, it can only be repaired by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His finished work at the cross of Calvary. You know, storms will come, inevitably. They bring with them fear, anxiety, doubt and pain. And yet, I just want to remind you that God's Word tells us that there is no storm on earth that heaven cannot calm. You know, there's no problem too great that the Lord Jesus cannot fix. I'm often reminded of the story of Abraham and Sarah. And they're told the Lord Jesus visits them and tells them, look, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughs and the Lord asks that question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, there's nothing too hard for Him. You know, this storm, it was sudden. It was a severe storm, but we could think this morning of where this storm came from. Where did it come from? You know, if you were to go home and look up Bible scholars and commentators, you would come across many various suggestions. You know, this storm, it may have been natural. After all I've already shared, the Sea of Galilee was susceptible to storms of this nature, but this storm came at night, and that's very rare on the Sea of Galilee. You know, this storm, it could have been satanic in origin. You know, it's interesting that whenever Jesus calmed the storm in verse 39, he used those words, peace, be still. That's the same word that is translated, hold thy peace, in Mark chapter 1 and 25. The word, it carries the idea of being muzzled. It's the idea of muzzling a violent animal. And whenever the Lord Jesus used that word in Mark 1:25, he was using it to command demons to be quiet. Perhaps the storm came when Satan sent it as an attempt to destroy the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible does not tell us the source or the origin of this storm. But I wonder this morning, did God send the storm? Wonder, did God send the storm for the very reason to teach the disciples to learn to trust Him more? No, storms can come in all of our lives. And perhaps you're in a storm this morning, and they can come from many various sources. You know, sometimes the storms, they can be our own fault. Sometimes we do things and they get us into trouble and we have to pay the price. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is go to the book of Jonah. And there God calls Jonah, the reluctant preacher. He asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach that message of deliverance to them. And Jonah says no. He ends up in a terrible storm and eventually in the belly of a whale. You know, sometimes God sends a storm. Why would He do that, you ask? And yet the answer is so simple, to discipline us and to draw us closer to Himself. Was that not the case with David? After he had sinned with Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, and God sent a storm to discipline David. You know, sometimes He sends it to teach us to trust Him more. You know, Job was a man who was forced to endure many storms. He lost his family, he lost his cattle, he lost everything in life. And yet Job was drawn closer to the Lord as a result of this storm. Now, I can remember reading the story of a little boy. He was out one Saturday afternoon and he had a little paper boat in the water. The boat was sailing about and it got too far out into the lake. And he couldn't reach the boat. The little boy, he went and he lifted some stones and he began to throw the rocks at the far side of the boat. He threw the rocks one after another and the ripples created from those rocks had brought the little boat back to the shore. And as a result of those ripples, those stones that he threw, you know, he was able to reach out and simply claim the boat again. You know, there are times in life when Satan sends a storm. You know, there are times when Satan will whip up a storm in your life. He'll try to defeat you, try to drive you away from the Lord. You know, we have a very real enemy. One who's seeking to defeat us. One who's seeking to destroy God's children. And he'll do whatever it takes to throw you off course. And yet I thank the Lord this morning that even Satan is limited in his ability to torment us by the power, the sovereign power of an almighty God. You know, this was a night of nights. It was a night of great dangers. But I want us to go a little further, and we could suggest something else. We could suggest that it was a night of great doubt. You know, the greatest storm on this night of nights, it wasn't on the Sea of Galilee, but the greatest storm was in the hearts of the Lord Jesus' disciples. You know, the storm in their hearts, it was a storm of doubt. It was a storm of fear, and it threatened to drown them all. You know, while the storm was raging around them, the Lord Jesus, he was asleep. He was asleep at the back of the boat, and I can just see the disciples running to the back of the boat, and they're about to awaken the Master. You know, the little word awaken, it means to rise from sleep. It was used to speak of a calm sea that was just beginning to be agitated. And I believe that the Bible is telling us that they went to where he was sleeping and they began to shake him awake. You know, these men were terrified. These men were fearful. They had lost all hope of ever surviving this storm. Their lives and their hearts were full of doubt. You know, they doubted the Lord Jesus and his concern for them. You notice the words it says, "Carest thou not?" You see, they accused the Lord Jesus of not caring for them. You know, here are these disciples. Let's think about it. They'd seen the Lord Jesus cast out devils. They'd seen the Lord Jesus cast out many different diseases. They'd seen the Lord Jesus heal a blind man. They'd seen him give a leper back his life again. And now they're faced with a storm. A storm on the Sea of Galilee, and they're afraid. Should they not have known that a puff of wind could not thwart the power of an almighty God? You know what the problem of the disciples was? They were looking at the situation and not at the Savior. You know, they had their minds fixed on the facts and not on faith. You know, before we get too hard on these disciples this morning, perhaps we should consider our own hearts. Have there not been times in all of our lives whenever a storm comes and we question God's concern for us? Yes, you might not have said it out loud. You might not have cried it from a pulpit, and yet down in your heart it's coming and it's agitating in you, and you're saying, "Lord, don't you care what is happening to me?" You know, we've all been there. And yet I just want to remind you this morning that Jesus cares. He cares more for you than you ever possibly know. He cares for you. And he's doing something about that situation, even though you might not see it now. I love that hymn, the words of that hymn, and we sometimes sing it back in Sainfield. "My troubled soul, why so weighed down? You were not made to bear this heavy load. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you." Goes on, "Jesus cares. He cares for you. And all your worrying won't help you make it through. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares. He cares for you." You know, they doubted his concern. But you know, they also doubted his commitment to them. It says, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Remember, it was the Lord Jesus who had sent them out into the sea in the first place. These were the men who had left everything behind, their work, everything that they knew, and they were following the Lord Jesus. And would He actually take them into a dangerous situation? Here were the disciples. They were afraid that Jesus was just going to let them die. And yet the Lord Jesus, He did not save us to abandon us. He did not save us to abandon us whenever the going gets tough, but He's absolutely committed to you. And you know that verse in Hebrews 13 and 5, it says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, if you were to look up the little word leave, it simply means to let sink. The word forsake, it means that He won't abandon you, desert you, or leave you under any circumstances. You know, when the storm is raging, when the boat is rocking and reeling, when those adverse winds, they come and they go, when they're crashing about, you know, the Lord Jesus has promised that He will never leave us. He's promised to be with us every step of the way, never to desert us in any circumstances that we face. But you know, something else that they doubted, the Lord Jesus and His comments to them. You know, the Lord Jesus said those words, let us pass on to the other side. You know, the Lord Jesus had already told these disciples what was going to happen. He had told these disciples before the journey started that they were going to the other side of the lake. They were going to make it there. If only the disciples could have believe the words and the promises of God. You know, I'm sure we're all no different. The Lord has promised us that everything, it's going to be all right in the end. And yet so often we fail to trust Him. And so often we fail to take Him at His word. You know, He's promised to take care of us. If we just learn to lean on Him and His word. You know, He's promised to be with us in every situation. No matter what that situation is. And when the winds and the waves blow, and they always do, you know, should we not learn to trust Him more? You know, it's wonderful to know that there is one. There's one who rules over land and sea. There is one who has the power to calm the storm in every person's life. And you know, we need not fear this morning, because we serve a God who is gracious, a God who is a loving Heavenly Father to each one of us who know and love Him as Savior. What a night it was. It was a night of great dangers. It was a night of great doubts for the disciples. But I want to finish with another point, and it was a night of great discoveries. You know, for these disciples, they were going to discover many things. They were going to discover some great truths about the Lord Jesus and about God, some precious truths that they were going to discover that would help them in their Christian life. And you know, as Christians this morning, these are discoveries that we all need to make. As we go down through the journey of life, we need to realize that God is in the vessel. And learn these discoveries that these disciples learned. You know, they learned something about the power of God. You know, this storm that was so great, this storm that was filling the boat with water, it posed no problem for the Lord Jesus. He simply rebuked the wind. He spoke to the sea, and when He did, the winds fell silent. The Bible tells us that the water was still. It became as a sheet of glass. And just as easily as He had healed the sick, just as easily as He had cast out devils, the Lord Jesus was able to control the storm. Do you know the God that we serve? He still has the same power today. And there's no problem too hard for Him. He can silence the storm with one word, if He so desires. They learned about His power. But you know, they also learned about the promises of God. You know, just as He said that they were going to pass to the other side, that they were going to make it, you know, eventually, they made it to the other side. And the disciples learned that the Lord Jesus was as good as His Word. They learned that He always keeps His Word, that He always keeps His promises. You know, He keeps His promises today in the 21st century. Everything that He has promised He will do, He will do it. And there's no promise in this book that God cannot keep. Learned about the Lord and His power, His promises. But you know, they learned about the very presence of the Lord. You know, having the Lord Jesus in your vessel, you're at an advantage. You know, the Bible tells us in verse 36 of Mark 4 that there were also with Him other little ships. You know, as you think, as I thought about that, you know, the Lord Jesus, He was only in one ship. He was only in the ship that the disciples were in. The other ships, they were in the storm as well. But the Lord Jesus, He wasn't in their boat. And whenever you have Christ in the vessel, you know, you truly can smile at the storm. You know, as we sail on the river or the sea of life, we need to remember, do we not, that we are all in this thing together. We're all sailing to this port. And as we sail, I wonder, do you have Christ in your vessel? I wonder, perhaps this morning you're not saved, and you come to Lurgan Sunday morning after Sunday morning, and I wonder, do you have Christ in your vessel? No, if you have Christ in your vessel, you're able to call upon Him. You're able to call upon Him and see Him move in power. You can see Him and experience His peace in your lives. You can weather the storms of life. They learned about His power, His promises. They learned about His presence, but they also learned something about the purposes and the plan of God. You know, this storm, it taught these men something. It taught them a lesson that they could not have learned any other way. You know, wouldn't it have been great if these disciples would have just believed Him? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the disciples, after seeing Him do all those mighty miracles, could just have taken Him at His word and just have rested on the promises that He told them that He would do? Wouldn't it have been great if they could have said, you know, if Jesus can heal a leper, if He can cure Peter's mother-in-law, if He can cast out devils, if He can heal that person with the palsy, if He can forgive sins, then I'm sure 100% that He can be with me in this storm. Yet it seemed as if they were unable to process this information and apply it to their own lives. And I'm sure we can all identify with these disciples. And yet, what about us this morning? We have the Bible, God's Word. It tells us all the things that He has done for us. We have the testimony of others around us, people who we know who have been through terrible situations and storms. You know, we have seen what He has done in other people's lives. And yet, wouldn't it be great if we could simply trust Him and lean upon Him? And yet, so often we don't. And so often He has to use the storm to teach us to lean upon Him and to trust Him more and more. You know, it's interesting if whenever you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, there you find these same disciples, these same men. They're in another storm. And again, they're afraid. They're filled with doubt once again. They're filled with fear. And this time, the Lord Jesus, He's not in the boat. And they're filled with doubts. They're filled with fear. And yet the Lord Jesus, even though He's not in the boat, He comes again. And He stands in the water and He stills their storm. Do you know, in that storm, we learn another valuable lesson. That even when you can't see Him, He's still watching over you. He's still working on your behalf. You know, perhaps He sends the storm to educate us. Perhaps He sent the storm to teach us to trust Him more. And yet the storms, they're not sent to hurt us. But they're sent to make us grow and to develop our Christian walk. They learned so much. It was a night of great discoveries, but you know, they learned something about the peace of God. You know, while these disciples, they were fretting, and while they were fearing, you know, what is the Lord doing? The Lord Jesus Christ, He's asleep in the back of the boat. Why was He asleep, you ask? Well, perhaps it was that the Lord Jesus knew that He was in the center of the Father's will. The Lord Jesus, perhaps He knew that He was going to die on the cross. He knew that He was going to go to Calvary. He knew He was not going to die in a shipwreck. And you know, the Lord Jesus could sleep even in the midst of the storm because He trusted His Heavenly Father to take care of Him. You know, if a situation doesn't rattle the Lord, then we shouldn't let it rattle us. And you know, there's nothing. There's nothing that rattles the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 121:4, it says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." You know, they learned something about the peace of God. But finally this morning, you know, they learned something about the person of the Lord Jesus. You know, whenever the Lord Jesus calmed the sea, they were amazed. And I'm sure if you were on that boat as well, you would have been amazed. And they asked that question, "What manner of man is this?" And they learned that the Lord Jesus was the one who is in control of every puff of wind, every angry wave, every storm in life. They realized that He was the one upon whom they should have been trusting. You know, the Lord Jesus, He can control the waves. He can control the winds. He can overcome the storms in your life. He can overcome the storms in my life. I wonder, will we trust Him in the days that lie ahead? It was a night of nights, a night of great dangers, a night of great doubts, a night of great discoveries. And I don't know this morning what storm you're in. Don't know what situation you face in this incoming week. But I know one who can still the storm. You know, if it's a storm of suffering, you know, the Lord Jesus can ease your pain. If it's a storm of sorrow, He can comfort your soul and bring that peace to your heart. And if it's a storm of sin, you know, He can deliver you and set you free. I wonder this morning, in Lurgan Baptist Church, do you need to hear the Lord Jesus simply saying to your heart and to your storm, "Peace, be still"? You know, if you bring your storm to Him, you know, you can sit back and watch Him work. And I'm sure that you will be able to sing of those words, of that song that I already quoted, you'll be able to sing, "I will praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, the lifter of my head. Praise the rock of my salvation, because all my days are in His faithful hands." May God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer before we sing our closing hymn. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, our Father, that it's full of lessons for each and every one of us, even now, 2,000 years removed in the 21st century. O God, we pray that You would write Your word in all of our hearts. Lord, You know each person's situation. You know where everyone stands. And O God, we just pray that You would help us all, preacher included, to trust You more, to lean upon You every day, and when the storms come, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our Father, bless Your word to every heart. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.